You are listening to The Morning Magazine for Monday, September 13th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's programs, students walked out of Boulder's Fairview High School Friday, protesting an alleged climate of permissiveness when it comes to dealing with sexism on campus. And the CityCast Denver crew looks at how some Denverites are preparing to push back against looming evictions. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the latest Jim Hightower commentary just after the BBC headlines. And then it's Storytellers of Color with Rosanna Longobetter. And as always on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. But first, these headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
On Friday, Colorado health officials sounded the alarm about the continuing spread of COVID-19, as the state now has fewer intensive care beds available than at any other time during the pandemic. The number of open ICU beds dropped below 200 on Thursday and increased slightly on Friday. Data from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment shows that over 80% of those now hospitalized in the state are either unvaccinated or partially vaccinated, and 85% of deaths in the state are from that group. Scott Bookman of CDPHE said that the burden of the unvaccinated on hospitals is profound, and hospitals have begun canceling or postponing elective surgeries and converting rooms and entire floors for treating coronavirus patients. The state health department also updated its protocols for schools on Friday, recommending mask mandates for everyone inside schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. CDPHE is urging local health officials and school districts to implement mask requirements for all students, staff, teachers, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status. In Jefferson County, nurses and staff members with the mobile vaccine units will now be accompanied by security personnel. The necessity to protect them comes after the county health department had to pull vans off the street because a driver in Gilpin County drove over and destroyed signs around one of them. The Associated Press reports that other vaccine providers have been verbally abused, and last month someone threw live fireworks into a tent with nurses and staff members. A spokesperson for the county said that they will not be intimidated out of its public health mission and will arrange security to keep staff safe. President Joe Biden is scheduled to visit Denver tomorrow. Just ahead of his visit, some Republicans in the state House of Representatives are criticizing his efforts to get more people vaccinated. Last week, the president announced plans to impose vaccine mandates on federal and many health care workers and to order all private sector employers with 100 workers or more to require vaccinations or weekly testing. Six Colorado conservatives in the state House of Representatives wrote a letter to the White House saying that the executive order is discriminatory and unconstitutional, and stated that Biden is not a king or dictator. In other political news, Heidi Ganahl, a regent of the University of Colorado, filed paperwork on Friday to run for governor. Colorado Politics reports that in addition to being the only statewide elected Republican, Ganahl is the head of and founder of a national dog daycare chain. A resident of Douglas County, she plans a formal announcement of her candidacy tomorrow. Other Republicans have already thrown their hats in the race to take on Governor Jared Polis, including the former mayor of Parker, Greg Lopez. However, Republican leaders have told the Denver Post that they expect Ganahl will not have a serious primary opponent. A Colorado State Patrol officer has been charged with felony menacing by the Denver District Attorney's Office. Trooper Jay Hemphill is alleged to have pointed his gun at a driver while he crossed the street near the Capitol building. The Denver Post reports that Hemphill is assigned to protect the governor and the State House. An arrest affidavit states that he pulled out his gun and yelled at a woman as he crossed in front of her truck. The State Patrol has placed Hemphill on leave from his duties. Denver Public Schools are talking with city officials about allowing armed patrol officers to issue tickets to students. Chalkbeat, Colorado reports that over the last year, DPS removed police officers from its schools. If the city agrees to the plan, school patrol officers who are armed could issue charges against students for things like fighting and possession of marijuana and about 15 municipal violations. The security officers are not sworn police. However, some critics accuse the school district of a bait and switch. Elsa Banuelos of the advocacy group Padres y Jóvenes Unidos said that the district is just finding new ways of criminalizing students. The organization has long advocated an end to the school-to-prison pipeline and says the new arrangement is contrary to the board resolution removing police from schools. Data shows that black students in Denver are disproportionately ticketed or arrested at school. Students at Fairview High School in Boulder walked out of school on Friday protesting the administration's handling of sexual assault and harassment complaints. It's not the first time students have held such a rally. We'll have more on the walkout after headlines. Yesterday's high temperature in the metro area reached 86 degrees, a welcome relief from record highs in the upper 90s on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The normal high for this time of year is about 81, and except for tomorrow, temperatures will be above average. Today will be partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s and a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and into the evening. Tomorrow mostly sunny with the highs in the upper 70s and a chance of showers. Right now it's about 58 in Boulder and warmer in Denver and Fort Collins. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Students at Fairview High School organized a walkout Friday to protest sexual harassment and gender inequality. It's the second walkout at the school this calendar year. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Randy Barber, BVSD's chief communications officer, and Cindy Wu, a junior at Fairview, who received parental consent to speak to KGNU on record.
Today we walked out because the administration for years has refused to listen to us, to help us, and the only reason we had to help them or ask them to help us is because they failed us in the first place. They have been failing us for years. And you know, the thing that I get so much is you live in Boulder, you know, you don't understand, you know, real sexism, and that is absolutely untrue. You know, everyone believes that Boulder is the liberal capital of the world, that we treat minorities, that we treat women so well. But believing that and giving ourselves this wonderful medal actually blinds us to our faults and to the very glaring sexism, the very glaring racism in our community. Because we believe that we have achieved perfection in some way, and as a minority, and as a woman, as an Asian woman, I can tell you that that is absolutely not true. I mean, I can just walk down the hallways in this school and tell you that that is not true.
You are here surrounded by your friends, and people walk out, and they just were asked by the authorities of the school to go back to class. Are they offering to do some action that will support you?
I really don't think so, and it is incredibly upsetting because this movement in particular, both this walkout and the walkout in April, were absolutely peaceful. We didn't yell, we did not destroy anything at all. We have been incredibly reasonable, and they have chosen to ignore us, and it is upsetting that through, you know, methods that are, you know, considered right and peaceful, that we are not listened to, and they continue to say that they don't know how, but I think that it is because that they are not willing to make the effort, because there is a lot that needs to get done. But just because something is difficult does not mean that you cannot start it, that you cannot make the effort to make things better.
Would you please also retell the story to the listeners of why you have done a second walkout?
I'm not entirely sure how many details I am allowed to share, but I can tell you that our dean was brought a case of sexual assault within the school. It happened during the school day in the hallway. I believe there was video evidence. And he said, boys will be boys. You have to empathize with the men. And I quite honestly think that his main objective is to keep Fairview out of the press, or at least have us have good press. I feel like that is both Fairview and BVSD's main objective is the view from the public and not the safety or of their students.
How will you see a solution coming from the students, from the parents, or from the administration?
Qu- quite honestly, I don't have a perfect solution. I'm 16 years old, but for starters, and this I talked to our athletic director about this yesterday, is at Fairview, every time we have a big football game, we have the cheerleaders come, we have the band march through the halls. I mean, our band is one of the best in the state, and it's treated like an accessory to the football team. You know, nobody shows up to the band competitions, but everyone shows up to the football game. You know, our girls' mountain biking team is one of the best in the state, and it gets absolutely no recognition. Actually, I would argue that it is the best in the state, our girls' varsity mountain biking team. I have gotten no recognition as I was the only girl at regionals this year, and there has been absolutely no recognition from the administration. So quite honestly, something that would be incredibly simple for them to do is morning announcements, banners in the hallway, maybe a bus to competition, and promoting sports that are not football, because that is what they have been doing for years, and it has affected our community very negatively.
Your final thoughts? Be the voice of these other students that are standing with you today.
This problem is not going to go away, and our activism is not going to go away until there is change.
Can you please give me your name again and tell me in which grade are you?
I'm Sydney Wu, and I'm a junior at Fairview High.
I'm here at Fairview High School, and there's a walkout organized by the students. I have the opportunity right now to speak with the communications person here at the school, and this is a great opportunity to understand further what is going on.
My name is Randy Barber. That's R-A-N-D-Y-B-A-R-B-E-R. And I'm the Chief Communications Officer for the Boulder Valley School District. The Boulder Valley School District honors our students' right to protest. We believe that it's important for us to hear their voices. We understand that there are some of our students that are upset, that are hurt. Honestly, this entire community, to a certain extent, is hurt in that we're working through this process to try to build trust, to understand where they're coming from and to meet them where they're at. We hear what they're saying and believe that, you know, in many ways that we've met the requirements of what they're asking us to do, which includes hearing them. Our principal, our interim principal here, has already set up listening sessions and is meeting with students and staff and our community to hear their thoughts. And, you know, some of the things that we've heard from them is that they want additional education around Title IX, harassment, sexual violence, and those things are in progress right now. We actually are having an event in which people can come and hear from members of our community that will be talking specifically about what Title IX is and what that law does, the protections that we have in place, the reporting. We've done a lot, actually, in the Boulder Valley School District to improve since learning about some of the issues that we've had here and hearing directly from our students in regards to their concerns on it. We've improved reporting. We've made sure that it's more visible on our website. We have changed our board policies around this to ensure that they are appropriately meeting students' needs if they come into a situation in which they need to report. Again, we are in the process of actually hiring a Title IX coordinator that's going to be overseeing this work. We are in the process of actually putting into place a Title IX council that will be bringing in people, including students, including some of our employees, including community members, to ensure that we're hearing what they need and, again, to be able to meet those needs long term.
Thank you so much. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo-Vete.
When the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Biden administration's eviction moratorium 2 weeks ago, approximately 12,000 Denverites woke up to the increasingly imminent threat of losing their home. But a new organization called Newer Denver wants to give tenants access to legal representation. Newer, or No Eviction Without Representation, is gathering signatures for a ballot initiative that, if passed, would give renters free legal counsel. CityCast Denver host Bree Davies chatted with Newer Denver's Ren Echo about the city's current housing crisis and how much of a difference having a lawyer makes at eviction hearings.
So we'll start with a sort of bigger picture of evictions in Denver, but this is sort of a national issue too. And a couple of weeks ago, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Biden administration's national moratorium on evictions. So where does that leave Denver when it comes to evictions?
Pretty bad, specifically. Yeah, so we had state protections until the start of the year. At this point, the only thing left in Denver is a governmental order that's been put in place by Jared Polis, which basically just gives them 30 days to evict you instead of 10. So it's not really a good situation. I sort of knew we were going to talk about this, so I tried to calculate, like, what amount of people are really going to be affected by that moratorium getting knocked down. My estimate is about 12,000 new people on the street as a result of that.
Oh, wow.
Which that won't hit all at once, right? It's not going to be a thing that's just going to happen one day. That's over the next year, probably. But that's about what that eviction moratorium expiring means, is about 12,000 new people on the street and a lot of other people, you know, in a really uncertain position.
And is that 12,000 people in Denver, Ren, or in Colorado?
No, that's in Denver. So we know roughly how many people are behind on rent in Colorado. It's about 150,000. And we don't know exactly how many of those people are going to get evicted, but we can sort of assume that on the long term, it's going to be pretty much all of them, right? Because if they're in that position, you know, even if they're not getting evicted right away, the types of things that could prevent that aren't going to hold long term. That reflects, you know, economic insecurity. And then in terms of what number of people who get evicted become homeless, that's like way harder to figure out. But I found a study that estimated it at about like 30%. And I calculated based on that.
So you're part of this group, No Eviction Without Representation.
Yep.
Or is it, it's a group. It's, can you explain what it is or what you're doing?
So No Eviction Without Representation, or Newer Denver, is a ballot initiative campaign to provide free automatic universal legal representation for tenants facing eviction. So basically, it's a law that we wrote with our lawyer that would, it would start this program that would provide free legal representation for anybody who's going through that eviction process in the court system. And it would tell them right at the very beginning that they have that right. It's funded through a small yearly tax on landlords themselves, and that goes into a program that does all of this stuff. And we're running a campaign to get it on the ballot right now. And if we succeed, it'll be on the ballot next year.
So if it is on the ballot and it passes, it becomes, like you're saying, something that's paid for through an annual tax of $75 per unit, and that's paid by the landlords.
Yes. So it assesses a $75 yearly tax on landlords who own real estate property. So that's like $6.25 a month that they're paying into this fund. And then it fuels this program.
Is there concern that that cost could be passed on to tenants?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the problem is that there's like almost no protections for tenants in Colorado, right? And that's the exact thing that we're trying to fix here. So it's hard to really do anything like that without running that risk. But the hope is at least that, you know, it's a really small amount, both for landlords and tenants, right? We don't want to be overtaxing people. And so, I mean, this $6.25 a month seems really worth it to fuel a program that could help a lot of people stay in their homes.
So we were talking earlier and you said Newer Denver doesn't really have a formal structure around it. You're a volunteer. Most of your team are volunteers. So I'm curious about you. How did you get involved with this?
So last year it happened, right? And I am living in Five Points in an area that's like pretty much the epicenter of the homelessness crisis and like a lot of low-income housing. And so I was seeing it, you know, impact a lot of my neighbors and stuff. And I wanted to get to learn more about that stuff and get more involved with it. And I wound up getting caught up in a homeless encampment sweep last July. And then from there, I just started talking to people about this issue, like anybody that I could find. And I met a guy from the Denver DSA who got me involved with the Eviction Defense Program.
And DSA, for those who aren't familiar, is the Democratic Socialists of America.
Yeah. For a while, to put a little more detail on what we were doing, we reached out to people through the court system who were being evicted. And we would get their information from the courts and then we'd contact them and just see, like, what we could connect them with, right? Whether it's rental assistance or legal assistance. And most of what we ended up doing really was getting people lawyers. And so we ended up having to stop doing that actually last December because the law has changed in a way that really ultimately is a good thing, actually. A new law passed that meant that landlords can't easily look up these like in progress eviction court proceedings to discriminate against people, but that also meant that we can't either, right? Nobody can access that anymore. And so we stopped being able to contact those people, and then looking at what else can we do, we decided to start Newer Denver.
So in June, Denver City Council passed an ordinance that would provide legal assistance to some tenants facing eviction. How does the work that you all are doing with this ballot initiative play into that ordinance that was proposed by Councilwomen Seda Baca and Sawyer?
So we actually worked with Seda Baca and Sawyer on that, and we were big supporters of it. But our push there was basically we wanted it to be universal and permanent, right? Because so the thing that they put into place is funded by this sort of, you know, whatever money the city has left over. It's subject to appropriations, and it's sort of an uncertain future for that program at the moment. And on top of that, it provides the service, like you said, only to some renters, right? And specifically only to people who can prove and verify their income and that it's below a certain level. So our worry is that that doesn't include a lot of people, and then it doesn't include specifically a lot of people who might really need that service, right? Like undocumented immigrants or poor people who aren't, you know, part of the formal economy, people who might have a hard time proving their income. Plus, as we were talking about before, you know, you have 10 days in this process normally, which is not a lot of time to try to verify your income, get your tax information together. So we're really worried that a lot of these people who might most need access to representation aren't going to get it through that program. And so we're really happy about them passing that just because it takes place now, right? Which it's pretty clear that we need this now. And that's just not something you can do with a ballot initiative. But the hope is that our program then will take that and make it universal and permanent to like address the underlying problem.
This seems like kind of an obvious question, but why or how is it important? Like, how important is it that tenants have legal representation during these proceedings? Because it seems to be that that's what this ballot initiative would fund and support, which is people need legal representation. Can you just talk about how that plays into the eviction process?
I don't think that's obvious at all, actually. I mean, this is one of the things that really surprised me doing this work is how much of a difference just showing up to court and having a lawyer really makes. I think a lot of people don't just because they think it's pointless, right? They're like, oh, I'll just lose anyway. But really, that's not the case, actually. In practice, this is really treated as sort of an automatic practice. It just goes from start to finish without the tenant participating at all. If you don't show up to court with a lawyer, you just get, you know, flash evicted with nobody ever even looking at your case. Whereas if you show up to court with a lawyer and you do what's called filing an answer, literally just that, it like shoots down your chances of actually getting evicted to like 6%. It makes a huge difference because what can happen then is, again, you're getting them to actually look at your case and say like, okay, is this eviction really valid? And, you know, is this the best solution to the situation? And if you have a lawyer who's willing to negotiate for you, they can also try to get something like a non-judgment stipulation so that, you know, even if they say the eviction is valid, that maybe you can work with your landlord to work something out. Right. And you can leave, but you're not going to end up with that eviction on your record. That's going to leave a permanent impact on your life.
So representation really can have – legal representation can have a huge impact on the outcome of these eviction cases.
Yeah, more than you'd expect, actually. We saw this in a couple other cities that have done this, and their eviction rates went down by like 90% afterward.
Wow. So usually it sounds like this is an issue right now because most people don't have representation.
Almost nobody even shows up to court, let alone with a lawyer. Yeah.
But the landlords tend to –
oh, almost all of the landlords have a lawyer. Yeah.
That's just wild to me. Like someone who's a judge or sits in on this situation never once thought like maybe this is not working if we consistently have this outcome.
It's really strange to watch too. We've done some eviction court monitoring, right, to try to help people. They go through the dockets super fast. It's just name. Okay, go sign this piece of paper.
Wow.
It's insane.
And it's such a big, I mean, it's our housing. It's like, it's the root of all our stability as humans. And this is just like, well, you're out. Okay.
Yeah.
So say it does pass, say it gets on the ballot and it passes. Is there some big picture goal for you all, or what are you hoping is the outcome?
Yeah. I mean, again, so in some of these other cities where they've already done this, you see the eviction rate shooting down by like 90%, things like that. I'd really love to see that here. I mean, we're going to need that if this, you know, pandemic, crisis continues to fuel this problem. But I mean, more long-term, I'd just like to see this moving into a movement for more tenants' rights in Denver more generally. I'd like to see people, you know, working to organize within their communities just to try and assert their rights, because right now, landlords have a lot of power in Colorado and there are really very few checks on that. And I'd like to see more legislation in that direction, I think.
Well, Ren, thank you so much for joining me on CityCast Denver today.
Well, yeah.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that does it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Jamie Sudler, Rosanna Longo-Better, and the rest of the crew at CityCast Denver. Got something to say about something you heard on KGNU? You can call our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings.